You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. I am thankful for you. I'm excited about today's episode, and I want to start by reading some words out of the book of Ephesians, which is actually a letter written by a guy named Paul to this church in a place called Ephesus. And I'm actually reading through the book of Ephesians in my own life, but here are just a couple of verses, and I want to read these words and really speak these words over all of us. Paul says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened in order that you might know God's great power for all of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength God used when he raised Christ from the dead. How insanely awesome is that, right? But here's my word of encouragement. Right now, today, I have no idea what each of your days in your lives look like right now. Maybe your day is awesome. Maybe you're standing in the best part of your life, or on the opposite side, maybe right now you're walking through a trial, you're walking through a hardship, through a breakup, through a loss. Again, I have no idea of what you are facing, but I pray this. I pray that your eyes and my eyes of your heart would be open so that you might know of God's great power that is made accessible to all of us, the same power and strength that raised Christ from the dead. Here's the truth. You and I, we have very little power. You and I, we have very little strength. But for you and I who follow Jesus, we have access to the same great power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so today, I want to encourage you, instead of relying on your own strength and your own power, that you would rely on the power of God. And so right now, God, in this moment, would you fill us with your strength? Because we don't want to do things out of our strength. Right now, God, would you fill us with your power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Again, regardless of what you're facing, folks, regardless if it's a good day or a hard day or a bad day or an other day, I pray that you would know that you have access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Gosh, I just feel like I got done with a pep rally, but I want to encourage you with that. In today's episode, I sat down with New York Times best-selling author Annie F. Downs. She is a speaker, she is a pastor, and this conversation was so good. I've never done this before. It was so good that I'm breaking it into two parts. And so today you are going to hear part one. And we talked practically about life, what to say yes to and what to say no to. I needed to hear that part. And then we talked about fun and Jesus, which doesn't even seem like the two match, right? Like Jesus and fun, how can he be fun? And yet Jesus, honestly, he had a great sense of humor and had a life filled with joy and fun. You are going to love today's conversation. Again, this is part one. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Annie F. Downs, so incredibly excited about having you on The Conversation. I want to welcome you.
Thanks, Adam. This is so fun. I'm so glad to be. Anytime you and I get to talk, this is exactly what I want to do with my day. So this is awesome.
This is so good. You are now New York Times bestseller. You got a network that's taken over the universe. Speaker, pastor, preacher. I think the other day Carlos said that Oprah needs to kind of step to the side. I'm like, whoa, here we go. No, just how are things in general? How are you doing today?
I'm so tired. There's yes. So many things. No, I mean, listen, I just had this conversation with my friend Eddie on our podcast we do, but that's why it's fresh on my mind. And I think you experienced this with what you've done too, but there is so much joy in building things. I love building things. I love the work I'm doing. And also every single thing we build, every relationship, every company, every book, every church has a cost attached to it.
Yes.
And I think it's very sobering and very important that we weigh the cost of everything we build. And I'm just so thankful for what we're getting, the work we're getting to do, the team I've built that is around me, the books and the podcast network. I love all of it. And I'm sober about how it is not always easy and it's not free, but gospel work isn't, right? Like Jesus even said, not my will, but yours be done. Right. And so we hand that back all the time, but man, overall, Adam, I'm having a lot of fun and I'm going to bed pretty early these
yes,
days.
Yes, yes. Sleep very, very well. We talked about this before coming on. Andy, one of the things I appreciate about you is just there's no doubt of you being a solid Christian, solid follower of Christ. I mean, you challenge me constantly in that area through very different, all kinds of venues. But also, you are a builder. And that can oftentimes get a negative connotation with it. Has there been any wrestling match in you with that? What does that look like? Again, because sometimes it's like, no, that's a negative thing to build anything. And share that part of things.
I think that's a really interesting conversation for us to have because as a woman, there's a negative connotation. Yes. And as a Christian, there's a negative connotation. Yes. So I've got two strikes against me in this because men who build in the world are considered really successful and there is no top. There is no top of the mountain. They just keep going and going and going.
It's true.
And women get asked, who's going to take care of your kids? And what's going to, and no one wants to ask a woman how much money she's making, but we want to talk to dudes about who they are. But if you're not Kim Kardashian, no one's talking about your success, right?
Yes.
And it's just a different thing. And then in the faith world, you've got this whole thing of like, do I have a ministry or do I have a business? And what are the differences? And what's a nonprofit versus a for-profit? And so, yeah, I've had to wrestle all of that, Adam. But even inside of me, I mean, if I'm telling you the real,
yes,
the inside of me is, what is it costing me in relationship? What is it costing me in friendship? What is it costing me in even in my own belief of what I thought my life would be? And some people, God's greatest calling is for them to stay home with their families, men and women. And some people, their greatest calling is to not stay home with their family, and both feel expensive to the person who's got the call, right? Like both feel expensive. Yeah. And so inside of me, yeah, there's a wrestle. I think if you don't wrestle with the thing you've built, I'm not sure you're being all the way honest with yourself.
Yeah, that is so good. And I never thought about it, honestly, the two layers that you have, being a woman and also being a Christian, because I feel one very strongly. I mean, outside the church, if you're successful, it's like, great, awesome, this is wonderful. But you kind of want your pastor or your missionary or whoever to kind of not be successful. You know, like there's a, like, it's kind of like, I kind of want you to drive a crappy car and whatever else. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic there. With building, a question of that, and I didn't honestly plan on kind of going to this right off the get-go, but how have you struggled with saying what you say yes to and what you say no to? I listened to Tim Keller just yesterday, actually, his interview with Carrie Newhoff, and in light of his pancreatic cancer, he said there's been two things that have really come to the surface in him. And one is that he said yes to all kinds of things because he was a pastor. And I think this applies to anybody, right, by the way. But he said, I said yes to all these things that I should have never said yes to. And I realized that so much of my life was saying yes because I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings and say no. And I it took the breath out of me when I heard it, because that is this guy right here. How have you wrestled with that? Do you feel like you're doing well at that right now?
Yeah, that's this guy right here too. So don't worry, I feel that too. You know, for starters, how thankful are we for Carrie Newhoff and the work he does?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
His podcast, his books.
Yes.
I feel like he is that God. There are times where I think, I'm so glad God put me on the planet at the same time as this person. And Carrie's one of them. I just feel so like we're so lucky to coexist with Carrie Newhoff on the planet. Okay, so here's how I wrestle with that, Adam, is I don't do it by myself.
That's it.
We have a team, and in January, we take 3 days. And it's my management, it's my agent, it's my staff. We take 3 days in January and plan the year and the next couple of years, but specifically that year. And one of the first things we do, Adam, is we do a yes-no list. And we say, okay, what are yeses for this year? What are nos for this year? They will be different from the year before. So a great example is in 2020, we on the no list was doing outside interviews.
Whoa.
And doing outside podcasts. We just didn't have time. I couldn't get the books written that I need to get written and be a guest on shows while I was hosting my own shows. And so, but then when 2021 came around and it made a lot more sense to say yes to that. So that moved from the no list to the yes list. But because we do that every January, it sets up my entire year. I know exactly how many endorsements I'm writing. I know exactly how many forwards I'm writing. So then when the question comes and someone says, will you do an endorsement? I go, man, I've only got five of these this year. I'd rather finish the year having done three than having done 10. So I go, oh, if I've only got five, and you know this stuff too, but when it comes to things like endorsements or forwards, the reason they're asking you to do it is because they believe that your name will bring your audience to their book.
It's true.
If I don't think I'm going to be helpful to bring their audience, that's an easy no for me. Like, hey, my audience isn't going to come over to this book. And then there's ones like John Mark Comer's Ruthless Elimination of Hurry that I was like, my audience is looking for this book. So please, can I put my name anywhere on it?
Yeah, put me on the cover.
Because, yeah. And so there's, that makes it a little bit easier. Also, this has been my full-time job for 9 years and 1 month right now. And so I've done a lot of doing it wrong, of saying yes, and then dreading things until the minute it happens and then wishing it wasn't happening. And then when I'm done saying, I'm never doing that again, you know, like, why did I say yes in the first place? It didn't check off 8 of our 10 things that are yeses for us. And so now that we do the yes, no list at the end, now, of course, it's a little bit fluid where we go. So for example, it was fluid as in 2020, we said no interviews. And then I was the first person just about any of my friends knew to get locked down. So I ended up jumping on about 10 podcasts last March because people were like, you can't leave your house. Tell us what it's like. and who would have known that we would all know it all too well. But so it's a little bit fluid, but honestly, for me, Adam, the only way you know your right yeses and your right nos so that you aren't doing things to please people and you're doing things to please God is having community involvement. Whether you're married or single, because I'm not married, it's extra important to me because there's not a person who's sharing a bed and a life with me that is like, because I'm sure Becky speaks into that. There's probably a filter that it has to get past Becky to even get to your team. Right. Well, I don't currently have that filter. And so everything comes to my team. And so, but if we try to make yes, no list by ourselves, we're going to err on the side of selfish or the side of burnt out. And with people hopefully involved, you tighten up those boundaries so that you don't end up being selfish and only doing what you want to do. And you don't end up saying yes to everything and therefore running out of steam by September. And you've still got a quarter left in the year.
That right there, that's wisdom that can apply to anybody in any field. I've often thought about even putting my oldest son on that kind of board for me. I have two right-hand people on the staff here that I run things past. And they're not Enneagram 3s that are people pleasers. One of them's an 8 that is like, no, we are done with this. Like, why would you ever do that? And even this summer, so I'm going into a stretch of not preaching. Every summer before this, I have packed so many speaking engagements in it. It's insane. This year, I said no to all of them except one. It's a festival that my family loves going to. And so my wife's like, get in free, have everything paid for the entire time, including the hotel, and get paid. Like, go for it. And so,
we're always going to say yes when Disney asks us, when someone's hosting something at Disney, when someone's hosting something at Dollywood. Your church is a great example. I love Sioux Falls. I mean, my assistant almost left us and went and moved there because she loves you and your team so much.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, that's
Sarah would be on your staff in a heartbeat. And so that, you're right. That always helps with the yeses is when you know you're going to people you love or places you love, that makes it easier. Yes.
So I want to get into your book. That sounds fun, which is just you. It's everything about you is in this book. And we talked earlier, just the timing for such a time as this, like it just hits so perfectly. Annie, your hope with the book, you're like, what is your takeaway that you hope everybody comes away with, and why even now with the timing? So that's a huge 4 questions. Just go for it.
That's great. Well, for starters, I think the interesting thing is, you know, you sign a book deal years before you write a book. And so I was dreaming of writing this book in 2018 and 2019. I got to start writing it, thanks to my publisher, Ravel, in mid-19. And I didn't finish it until mid-20. So the interesting thing, Adam, is when you're writing a book about fun before a pandemic, and it comes out before a pandemic. Are you sure that's still true? After everyone has to stay home and not fly anywhere. And so what ended up happening is I got to put this filter on top of the whole book and be like, is this still true? Like, is this actually still true that fun still matters? And so what ended up happening, I tossed out a whole chapter because I was like, you know what? That was really fun and true until I couldn't leave my
That's
house.
Right.
And now that doesn't fit in the book anymore. And then I added a whole chapter on the end of like, here's what's happening the months before this book comes out. Like, I mean, I almost was typing the last word as page one was going into the printer. You know, I mean, we were like so close because I wanted it to feel, I wanted people to feel like I knew what I was talking about in the, not like Annie knows what she's talking about, but like, I know the world we're living in.
Yes.
I know what you're living through and I'm living through it too. And I still believe that fun is a really important physical, emotional, and spiritual discipline.
Yes.
That actually will change your life. We've taken fun to this, like, part of it is youth group. Like you and I growing up in the 90s, youth group told us there were three things that sounded really fun that we weren't allowed to do. Right. And so it's like, so fun is the stuff you aren't allowed to do. And then we grow, except like you can play soccer, but don't smoke weed, you know, like,
yeah,
you can go do this, but don't do that, you know? And so then the word kind of for Christians, cultural Christians, those of us who grew up in it, the word has a connotation that isn't true.
It's so true. That is so true.
And then as grownups, we don't think about it. When you were 9, no one had to be like, what sounds fun to you, Adam? And you had to like, think about it. You just were like, I'm just trying to get this. I have to read for 20 minutes today. I'm trying to sit here for 20 minutes so my mom will sign her little name on this piece of paper so I can get outside.
Yes.
Right? Like we were building our lives around getting to the fun thing. And then we grew up and we decided that we were going to build a life without any fun things. And for people of faith and people that don't believe everything we believe, fun needs a resurgence in our actual daily lives, I think.
Oh, no question. Before even coming on this, I just thought about college. I don't know anybody who wasn't fun in college or had fun. I mean, it was just it was just a part of your life. I mean, and then there's this gigantic shift. Get out of college, work hits us, relationships, whatever else that comes into it hits us. And now it almost seems foreign to who we are. And I think for so many of us, I'm 39. It's like, when was the last time, I think a lot of us could say this, when was the last time I actually had fun? Like that I laughed so hard that I cried. You know, like you just had those magical moments where it's like, gosh, that felt so good. It feels few and far between, not just with COVID and 2020, whatever, but just in general. How do we get that back? Like, how do we fight for fun? I'm not sure if that's something we can do.
But that's right.
How do we do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're making such an excellent point, Adam, because what a lot of the pushback people say to me when I'm talking about fun is they go, yeah, I could have fun when my life wasn't busy.
Yes.
Or when I didn't have all these responsibilities. How do you expect me to have fun and pay a mortgage? How do you expect me to have fun and get my job done?
Yes.
How do you expect me to have fun and raise all these kids or do all three of those things, which a lot of people are doing? And the reality is you do all those things and you still fit in sleep. It's not like you have a friend who you're like, when's the last time you slept? And they're like, I've been up for 7 days. There's just so much to do, right? Like it doesn't work. Or like someone goes, oh, I haven't eaten in 3 weeks. I just have not found the time, right? Like the reality is we make space for everything that makes us healthy. And we just have not realized that fun makes us healthier. And fun actually does something for us. And so what I tell people all the time, Adam, is if it has been a long time since you felt fun, since you really experienced it, you need to identify what your fun is and you need to put it on the calendar. And it doesn't have to be in that order, but it could be as simple as like, as our friends are listening to this, open up your phone, open up your computer and just do a 30-minute block on your calendar on Saturday or Sunday and say, fun. And then what happens is there is a lot of pressure in your own brain to go, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? What's our family going to do? What am I going to do with my friends? How am I going to spend 30 minutes of fun? And so what happens is between now and then, you're spending the whole time going, what is fun to me? Well, here's some things I think are fun. Or you sit around and this will, Adam, I would love for you to do this and I'd love to hear what happens. But And for our friends listening, if you sit around, if you go around the table and ask your family at dinner, what sounds fun to you? And then they answer, and it's a good answer. It's a funny answer, sweet answer. And then you ask why. And if you will keep pushing into the why, what's actually going to happen is you're going to get a revelation of the heart of the people sitting around the table with you, because where we find fun is where we felt the most safe, where we feel the most loved, where we feel the most innocent and childlike. And it actually is reminding us, I write about this and that sounds fun, it's actually reminding us of Eden, even though we've never been there.
Whoa.
That's right. I mean, scripture says God has set eternity in our hearts. I really believe that. I think we miss a place we've never been. And I think we're always longing for a place we haven't been to yet. And I think fun is one of the tools God uses to say, you feel that thing? You see, you know, you feel that thing you feel when you're laughing so hard you're crying. You feel that thing you feel when the roller coaster crests over the top and starts down. That thing you feel when you've made a recipe and everybody is loving it, or your garden is starting to grow. That thing you feel is eternity set in your heart. And so we can like go, oh man, this is so special. And I know, you know, like when we have one of those dinners, Adam, where you're sitting outside and the weather's perfect and the twinkly lights are perfect and the wine is perfect and the foods and the right people are there. And about halfway through, you think, I don't ever want this to end.
Yes.
I don't ever want this to end. And that is eternity set in your heart, because you know that you're feeling something that you're meant to know better. And eventually the dinner ends and you have to go home, or it starts to rain, or somebody spills something, someone gets in an argument, one of the twinkly lights burns out. Nothing on earth lasts, but that thing you feel is eternity set in your heart.
Yeah, that is so good. And I think specifically Christians need to hear this as much as anybody else. I don't know at what point like our intensity of following Jesus almost seems to take fun out of it, because that's shallow. That's not Jesus like. You know, I'm intense for God and I'm angry and whatever else. And yet a new friend of mine, somebody you need to have on your podcast, clear your calendar, Sandy Miller. I don't know if you know Sandy Miller.
No.
is Nikki Gumbel's pastor and Ken Costa's pastor.
Nikki Gumbel's pastor?
Yes, yes. Nikki worked for Sandy.
Like the king of the king.
He's the kindest man. He doesn't have a cell phone, so every time you call his house, Sandy Miller answers. I'm like, this is the best hookup ever. So Sandy Miller, he told me a mark of the Spirit is fun.
Wow.
And really a mark Nikki would say about Sandy's ministry is fun. I mean, he said, we laughed. When I worked under him at HTB, we just laughed constantly. And then someone I'm almost positive you know, Tom Tanner.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's been my life.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. So me and Tom Tanner, a guy, Micah from Omaha.
Micah Eldridge.
Yeah. So we went, Tyler Reagan somehow got us all together, and I had heard about Tom Tanner being on that trip. Tyler Reagan, by the way, I love you, but I said yes because I was excited about meeting Tom Tanner. Tyler, I'm apologizing right now after I said that. I'm so sorry, Tyler. But even him, I had heard about just this man of God, like everybody looks up to. He's discipled all these people. And one of the things I'd say about Tom is fun.
So fun. Now let's talk about leaving a legacy, because do you know that Tyler Reagan, Micah Eldridge, and myself were all in Tom's college ministry?
That's insane.
So we were all students at the University of Georgia at the same time. The three of us all sat together at Bulldog Games. We will never know on this side the impact Tom and Melissa Tanner have had on the globe. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is wild. But you know, I mean, an interesting thing about them saying the Spirit is fun. Can we talk about Jesus for a second?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Was this in your plans? Because if an Enneagram 7 had written one of the Gospels, we'd have some different stats. We'd have some different things, and it's fine. I love the Gospels. I also love that John ended the whole thing by going like, there's so much more. If we wrote down everything Jesus did, there'd be more books in their space for. So, which makes me very excited. But here's what we know about Jesus's personality, about him being fun. Because if we are made in the image of God, and I believe that we are, and there are so many fun people in our lives, that must reflect a spiritual truth, right? So number one, the very first miracle is at a wedding. And it specifically says at that the beginning of that chapter in John that Mary, Jesus's mom, was invited to a wedding and Jesus and his disciples were invited to, which means the bride and groom thought they were fun to be around. Right.
Yeah.
I just love that. That they're like, okay, let's make our list. People don't invite people to and their group of friends to a wedding if they're not fun. You don't want a bunch of guys coming to your wedding as wedding crashers. You want fun guys at your wedding. And so that tells me that Jesus, we also see throughout the Gospels that he is invited to dinner parties constantly, Adam. I mean, like a couple of dinner parties because he's Jesus.
That's
fine.
So good.
But like over and over, he's at dinner parties. So people loved being around him. And then so those two, we could say that's enough to know. But here's the piece de resistance. Children loved being around him,
yes.
Right? And kids sniff out a fun person from a mile away. Kids loved being around him. Had I written the Gospels, I may have been writing, when I'm watching Jesus with kids, I'm going to write down how he's throwing them around, how they're making up games, how what they're doing, how they're laughing, and what the disciples wrote down, which I'm still glad for. But what the disciples wrote down was like, hey, we were trying to get the kids away.
Yes.
And Jesus kept saying, let him come closer. Let him come closer. Like, I don't have enough people for Ring Around the Rosie. Let him in, right?
Yes.
And so all three of those things tell me that the disciples, the gospel writers, wanted to make sure we dug into Jesus's personality and said, if all those things are true, that guy had a fun part of his personality that people loved being around.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And again, an aspect of Jesus we often don't see or acknowledge that's so incredibly important. So,
Annie, because you said it, we think faith is too serious.
Yes.
Like, what if it's meant to be more fun than this? Yes, there are hard days. And yes, the world is hard. There's always challenges, but it certainly feels like the world is hard right now. And there's tragedy. But if we learned anything from watching Inside Out, aren't joy and sadness meant to live together? Aren't they both supposed to be there? We may just need to be having more fun in our faith than we're having.
So how good was that? Now you can understand why I broke this conversation with Annie into two parts. Next week is part two. You will not want to miss it. We're going to be back, Annie and I, talking about leadership, how to take care of yourself, also how to make sure a goal does not become a god. As always, thank you so much for listening. Do not miss next week. Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.